Welcome to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG is committed to bringing awareness to organizations in our community. This show highlights local and surrounding area nonprofits to help listeners learn how they can have an impact in our community and is for educational purposes only. We believe that helping the community is always positive and recognize the importance of providing a voice. Every organization highlighted is a qualified 501c3. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, where we highlight people and organizations who are doing great things and making a big impact in our community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at Ellenbecker Investment Group. And our topic of today's show may not initially strike you as one that is desirable or applicable to talk about because it's contrary to how some people live, or to some stats that are touted by media outlets or locals in our area, like the richest small town in Wisconsin is located just northwest of downtown, that would be River Hills, or the wealthiest county in Wisconsin, which is Waukesha County. You may wonder, why then talk about a topic that might not affect or impact the majority of people? Well, I would respond to that by saying that the top two cities in Wisconsin with the most people living in poverty are in southeastern Wisconsin, and that would be Whitewater and Milwaukee, with a rate of 37% and 25% respectively. That's why we think this is a topic worthy of conversation and highlighting people and organizations that are doing something to help. Poverty significantly impacts every aspect of a family's life, and it extends into communities as well in so many ways, whether that's in areas of health and well-being, educational opportunities, or social and economic impact, with children being more than twice as likely to be affected by extreme poverty than adults. My first guest today is from a nonprofit that aims to help people who fall in that socioeconomic category. Welcome to the show today, Joe Nettesheim, Executive Director from Family Promise of Waukesha.
Jill, thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to speak about Family Promise and really to advocate for the families that we work with. As you mentioned, homelessness is sort of a hidden issue in Waukesha County, and so I really see this as an opportunity to advocate for the families that we work with.
Well, we're happy to have you here, and we look forward to diving in. Why don't you start by telling us why you love serving the community at Family Promise?
I really do have a passion for what we are about. And I think the biggest reason is that housing is such a basic need. It impacts everyone. It impacts their education, their mental health, physical health, nutrition. And it's just really important that we are able to lift up those who are especially vulnerable. And I think if I can just ask your listeners to go through a little exercise here, just to think about their day. So they wake up in the morning, they're getting ready for work. If you're a parent, you're making sure your kids are getting ready for school, brushing your teeth, showering, making breakfast. You go through the course of your day. You come home. If you're the kids, maybe they have a snack when they get home, have some time to do their homework. Hopefully you have a family dinner together. Parents are tucking their little ones into bed. Pretty typical things that most families do. And now I want you to think about, what if you're staying in your car? How do you do those things? What's the impact that that has on the children and their future and their ability to do homework? So it certainly has an enormous impact on the families. You know, a few years ago we had a family, they were calling for shelter. So we provide shelter to families who are experiencing homelessness. And this family called at a time that we didn't have capacity. Our apartments were full. And this mom was very persistent. She was actually doing what we asked her to do, to call every week. She called every week for 2 months, and she finally came into the shelter. And when she was in shelter, she shared with us that she didn't want anyone to know that she or her kids were experiencing homelessness. There was an embarrassment, there was a stigma about that. And we certainly don't want people to feel that, and we don't want people to experience being in their car. She joined the Y so that they would have a place to shower in the morning and brush their teeth and get ready for the day. It was cheaper than a security deposit or cheaper than paying rent.
Yeah.
So it was really a challenging thing. And, you know, I think about my own family. This really is important to me. Family life has really been important to me. I grew up in a family of nine. I'm the youngest of nine. I have seven sisters.
Wow.
And I remember things like sitting around the kitchen table. We each had our place. And the families that we work with often don't have that. And that was such a formative experience for me. And we want the families to have that as well.
Well, and some people may view Waukesha County as an affluent county, as I mentioned in the opening. And yes, it does have its pockets of affluence, like most any other city, but it does indeed also have pockets of poverty. So what would you say, Joe, to someone who is asking if family homelessness really exists in Waukesha County?
Unfortunately, it absolutely does. You know, one of the reasons why we may not see it is what I mentioned before. Families do what they can to keep it hidden. There is a stigma. There's always going to be a stigma associated with people who are experiencing homelessness. But then you add to it that they're living in a county that does have a fair amount of wealth. There's an embarrassment. There's a shame that accompanies that. There's a sense of failure. And so the families that we work with really do try to keep it hidden, like the mom I had mentioned before. And so it's not necessarily just out there. Many of the families that we work with are doubled up. So they might be living with, staying with family or friends, relatives or friends, or staying in a hotel, using their last dollars to pay for a night in a hotel. And so we may not see them, like you might think about that you're going to see someone who's homeless on the street. That just isn't the reality of families. And so it does kind of go under the radar.
Tell us more about who Family Promise serves. Give us an idea of that.
Yeah, so our focus is on families who have minor children. That's just been a part of our mission. And in that group, what we have seen is the majority of the families are single-income households that are led by a mom. So mom is usually working. So we're really working with people that are employed. And she's just in a situation where she's not making enough money to be able to afford housing in Waukesha County. We're aware that about 44% of renters in Waukesha County are considered cost burdened, which means that they're paying more than 30% of their income on their rent. And it's just a really challenging situation when you are the sole income earner in your family.
And the cost of rent has gone up.
It's gone up tremendously.
Yeah.
We provide a program that has rent assistance. And we saw from 2023 that the average monthly payment that we made went up 41% from 2023 to 2024. I would say that we've noticed with our families that wages have gone up, but that has not kept pace with the cost of housing. And that's been a huge driver. We know that's been a driver of inflation. And it's also one of those things that puts our families, makes them really vulnerable. It puts them on the edge. So they have a car that breaks down. Many of the families don't have reliable or dependable cars. You know, they need a new set of tires, and they're barely making ends meet.
Right.
It starts a spiral into homelessness.
And what do you prioritize? You know, you have to feed your children. You have to do these other things. So, yeah, it becomes a challenge. But poverty and homelessness can impact not only families, as we discussed, families as a whole, but the community at large as well in a number of ways. So, Joe, do you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, I mentioned this a little bit before. You know, when you don't have that basic need met, you are finding that if you don't have a home, where do you make your dinner? How does that impact your nutrition? Where are you doing your homework? It impacts education. It impacts mental health. We have seen a study that said that children, youth who are experiencing homelessness have a higher incidence of depression and anxiety. And just think about that for a minute. We live in a society that already has high amounts of depression and anxiety, and then you add this on top of that. And it's certainly a challenge. And there's a ripple effect, you know. So When a child isn't able to finish school because of their experience, what happens to them when they become an adult? We know that 30% of adults who are experiencing homelessness had their first experience of homelessness as a child. So we really want to work to end that, to break that cycle of homelessness and poverty.
And again, within the family, but also the ripple effect, as you said, out into the community. And we understand that it impacts both those in so many ways. And it reaches into areas like social, emotional, psychological impact. And it's expensive to offer solutions. So grants to support your mission is so very important. Stay tuned, and after our short commercial break, Joe will tell us about the support that they received recently, along with some new initiatives they're implementing to respond to the needs in our community. We'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm talking with Joe Nettesheim, Executive Director from Family Promise of Waukesha. So, no nonprofit can do the great work that they do without funds that will support their mission, right? Tell us, Joe, about some crucial funding that you received recently and the much-needed new program that the funding supported.
Yeah, I'm really excited that we were the recipient of a grant that originated with the Bezos Foundation. It's a five-year grant, $200,000 each year, and the purpose is to begin what's called the Shelter Diversion Program. And our goals in this is, first of all, to identify families who are experiencing homelessness. We want to work with the community, whether it's the library or other agencies or the schools, to try to find families who are on the edge, who might be at risk of experiencing homelessness or are already experiencing homelessness, and then work with them so that they don't have to enter shelter. We're trying to keep them out of shelter. And so when a family comes to us and they are just starting to experience homelessness, you know, we want to see, do they have resources that they might be able to utilize? Oftentimes, when you're in a crisis situation, you're not thinking outside of the moment that you're in. And so with some really good case management, some good conversation, some assessment of where the family is, we can help them identify some resources without entering into shelter. It's a huge impact on the community because most of the time, the shelters are full. Mm. That's one of the most challenging things about our work, is having to say no when a family calls and because our shelter is full. So it's really changed our philosophy. It's changed our approach. We're not, when a family calls, if we're full, we're not referring them. We're thinking, how can we continue to work with them? So this has really been a game changer for us, and I believe for Waukesha County.
Wonderful. Well, I understand you have other new initiatives that you're implementing as well to respond to our problem of homelessness in the community. Tell us about those.
Yeah, so this is an interesting one too, because we've been working with the Oconomowoc School District. And again, we talked before about how our perception of Waukesha County, and particularly Oconomowoc, that might be a place where there's not a lot of people who are housing insecure. Well, their social workers from the school district approached us and started telling us they're seeing higher incidence of families who are having to double up or rent a hotel or are in their car. And they asked if we could lease an apartment in Oconomowoc. That's the model that we use for shelter in Waukesha, and use that specifically for a family that's in the school district. So the referrals are coming to us from the school social workers. And what's really, to me, exciting and hopeful about this is the level of care that the family is going to have. It's really a partnership between our social workers, our case managers, and the social workers from the school, that we're really trying to provide a net around the family and to work with them and address all the different issues that they're experiencing. It's a relatively new program, but it's very hopeful, and we're very excited about that. And we're also starting a transitional living home. We're starting with one home, and in this instance, a family will be able to stay in the home for up to 2 years. They do pay a percentage of the rent, not the 100% of the rent, but they do pay a percentage of the rent, and we're really asking the family that commits to this to be working on education, to be working on the opportunity to increase their earning capacity. there's a lot of different ways to try to address homelessness. Affordable housing, the lack of affordable housing is one of the biggest obstacles. So we can create more affordable housing, or we can try to help families have a larger earning capacity. Mm-hmm. And that's really the goal. How do we help them get to a better place so that they can afford housing in Waukesha County?
Well, you got some great programs going on there and new initiatives. And you mentioned earlier that some people don't seek help because of this stigma that's associated with homelessness. And along with that are some common myths about homelessness in general. You want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah. So not to say that this isn't a piece of homelessness, but I think sometimes we feel that mental health or addiction, if we could help individuals or families with those issues, homelessness would go away. Certainly it would put better people in a better place. But the reality is the reason why there's homelessness, even if there wasn't anyone who was struggling with their mental health or anyone that was struggling with addiction, there's just not enough affordable housing. And that's the biggest issue. So the solution to homelessness is really more housing. Another myth is that the people who are in this situation is because they made poor choices. You know, it's really about having resources. So when my car breaks down, I'm fortunate enough to have a little bit of money that I can take the car to the mechanic and pay to get it fixed. We know of families who their car just sits there. Mm. And I remember one mom telling me about how her hours were reduced at work. And I said, well, why are your hours being reduced? And she said, because I can't get there because my car is broken down. She was getting very close to losing her job because she wasn't showing up for work. And so it wasn't really about her choice. It may have seemed that way to her employer, but it's really about having the resource to be able to address the issues that she had, her unexpected expenses. Another myth is that one can budget their way out of poverty. The fact is that, you know, to afford a two-bedroom apartment in Waukesha County, you really need to earn about $21.71 an hour. That isn't necessarily what the families that we're working with are earning. When we look at the income levels for families who apply for rent assistance, about 80% of them are making $24,000 a year or less. Mm-hmm. So they just, again, don't have, they're not going to be able to budget themselves to a place that they can afford housing when you don't have money to budget. And I think the last one is that interventions do not work. You know, that when there's government assistance, that actually is harmful to people, but it's truly not. And just the example I would give is that in the midst of COVID, actually in COVID, we're seeing higher numbers of families needing assistance now than when we're in the midst of COVID.
Really?
And in the midst of COVID, the government implemented a child tax credit. And during 2021, childhood poverty was reduced by 44%. That program came to an end in December of 2021. In January of 2022, 5 million more children were in poverty.
Wow.
And so that's just an example. Like, some of the things that we are doing do have an impact. It may not be fixing the issue for everyone, but we do need to get involved in people's lives and support them and help them in situations that they can't get out of themselves.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you sharing those myths. But along with those myths and the potential stigma around homelessness, you also have some obstacles to overcome. And you talked a little bit about the affordable housing obstacle, but what are some of the other obstacles you face?
Yes, for sure, affordable housing and the lack of supply of apartments for families. Was at a meeting recently that the Waukesha Housing Authority mentioned that they have 9,000 people on the wait list for Section 8 vouchers. A Section 8 voucher provide support to a family or an individual so that they don't have to pay. They pay 30% of their income. There's just such a huge need that it's overwhelming at times. And so we really do need more vouchers. We need more affordable housing. We need more apartments. The housing issue certainly transcends families who are in poverty. And then what happens also then, because of that lack, is when we have families who are in shelter, they've stayed there for their 90 days, they're ready to move on, they're in a good place, they can't find a place to rent. There's just not enough, or they can't afford it, or they're being asked to pay a security deposit that's three times the monthly payment. And so the last one that I think is an obstacle, that it's really about our hearts. The not in my backyard attitude. I actually think that can be one of the reasons why we're not addressing affordable housing.
I kind of talked about that at the opening of the show,
yes,
right? You know,
yes.
People just don't think that it exists, right?
Yes.
In our own county.
Yes. And or there's an attitude that if those people are in my neighborhood, it's going to affect my property value. There are some studies out that are showing that mixed income neighborhoods are actually in a way better, that it actually helps people's property value than, segregating by income.
Hmm. Well, so we understand the challenges, some of them anyway, that you've outlined. We understand that there's myths and stigma around homelessness. We understand that you are implementing some new initiatives and you have this new program from the grant that you received. So you've got some great things going on. But tell us, what can our audience do to help further your mission or to help in any way?
Yeah. Jill, I think there's kind of been a theme through our conversation, and that is about understanding the situation and understanding why people are experiencing homelessness or having housing insecurity. Because there can be myths out there. There can be stereotypes and almost a prejudice that comes about because of what we think about people who are homeless. And so my first thing would be get involved so that you can learn. One of the best things that happens when people come and volunteer for Family Promise is they start to hear the story of the families. They learn their names. They understand their situation. It's really hard to hold on to our thoughts about what homelessness is when we actually meet someone. And what we really are going to find out is they're just like us. And so this is a roundabout way of saying you should come and volunteer for Family Promise. But it's really about, yes, it's about how we impact families. Like, that volunteer work is invaluable, but it's also how that volunteer work will impact you and your heart and your understanding of who's experiencing homelessness.
Okay, so if there's somebody listening today that would like to volunteer or donate, advocate, that's a big thing, what's the best way for people to learn more about you or check you out?
They can certainly go to our website. It's familypromisewaukeshawi.org, or they can give us a call, which is 262-968-2321.
Okay, one more time.
familypromisewaukeshawi.org. The WI part is the tricky part. People forget that.
Okay.
Or the phone number is 262-968-2321.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you, Joe, for sharing your passion of serving the homeless in our community. Thank you for all that you do at Family Promise, and thanks for being here today.
Thank you. Really appreciate this opportunity, Jill.
You are welcome. Well, we talked about the importance of supporting people who struggle and also partnering with others who can offer support. After a commercial break, you're going to hear about another organization that helps with the homelessness issue and associated challenges in our community. And I think you might just be surprised, or at the very least unaware, that this nonprofit gets involved in this way. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. And my next guests today are Bob Glowacki, CEO, and Jody LaChapelle, Director of Community Engagement at St. Vincent de Paul of Waukesha County. Welcome to the show today, Bob and Jody.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us here.
You are certainly welcome. Well, Bob, I met you when you were over at Easter Seals. Tell us why you made the move to St. Vincent de Paul.
Well, when I was looking for my next opportunity, I was really attracted to this as a faith-based organization. I am Roman Catholic, and this organization came out of that faith tradition, and I wanted to serve in that way. Secondly, I had a personal connection. My dad and sister have been Vincentians for over 70 years combined, and so I heard their stories and how Vincentianism really changed their lives and their perspectives. And then meeting the board of directors and hearing how they wanted to find new ways to alleviate poverty in Waukesha County, and their excitement about where the organization was going, along with our great stores and everything we were building, I wanted to be part of that.
Mm. Well, I mentioned before the break that some people might be a little bit surprised at who we were going to be talking to because maybe they're not aware of all the things that you do. So has anything surprised you about the organization that may indeed surprise our listeners as well?
I think the things that would surprise people, what a thriving organization it is. We have over 500 members, 24 conferences at local parishes, and they're all committed to people and serving people in need. What really sets us apart is that we go to people in need. Volunteers get calls. They go and visit that individual, hear what they have to say, how we can help them. And these are many times people in their second careers. They're over 50, and they've decided they want to give back. And to see their passion, Jody and I are pushed all the time to do more, and they're excited by that. And then the board shared with me that St. Vincent de Paul has given back about $1 million in rent support in Waukesha County over the last 2 years. In Waukesha County, $1 million to keep people from being evicted from their homes. That's a mind-boggling figure.
Absolutely. Well, tell us about how St. Vincent de Paul directly supports people who are struggling financially. You mentioned rent assistance as one of the.
We do a lot of direct assistance and material aid, about $2 million worth. So that's our conferences raising money. That's our council raising money. Those are the stores. When you come into the back of our store and make a donation, that's making a difference in how we can make this happen. Secondly, the clothes that are in the store, they go to anybody who's working with our conferences, get those clothes for free. And so we're literally putting clothes on people's backs. We're helping them to fill out their new apartment with household goods and so forth. So we're giving them literally what they need to set up their lives. And then you have amazing volunteers like one with our meal program. Do every Monday at the Hope Center, 75 to 100 people come to get fed. That's been going on for 25 years, and one lady for 25 years has been running that. And she has more energy than I'll ever have. and don't get in her way. But Peggy's something else, but she's very committed. And the love that she has for what she calls her guests who come for hospitality and for dinner, it warms your heart.
Yeah, we volunteered there as an organization and served lunch. And mm-hmm. That's a well-oiled machine over there, especially now that they're in their new location.
Exactly. Yeah. And then finally, we have a ministry that most people don't know about, the St. Dismas Jail Ministry. And it was named after the good thief there on the cross, the only one in the Bible we actually know makes it to paradise. But the interesting thing about that is we help people with material assistance there. Some people come out of the Waukesha jail who may have been arrested in July and are coming out in January with no clothes. And so we're one of their first stops just to get started again. One woman came to me and said, I was surprised. She was somebody I'd known for years. And she said, I have a St. Vincent de Paul story. I'm like, you do? And she said, yeah, my son made a mistake years ago. And he came out of jail, and you guys really helped him when he came out. But it wasn't what you did for him. It's how you made him feel. You were the first people to treat him like a human again.
Well, they say that's such a big thing. And doesn't Tom Pippins head up that ministry?
Tom Pippins is our conference leader. He's amazing.
Yeah, he is. I've had him on the show before. Well, do you have programs that go beyond material aid?
Yeah, so Bob has shared about the stores and the conference work, but we also have programs that support additional community needs and systemic change. So we have a summer meal program that's at the local parks, and we also do a back-to-school supply drive, making sure kids in our community have what they need to be successful in school. We have the Getting Ahead program, which is a financial stability workshop, and then it also works on kind of the community education piece with bridging seminars. There's a lot that go into those trainings and seminars, but one thing is really helping community members understand that you could be working a full-time job in Waukesha County and still not be unable to afford housing. Mm-hmm. And we really need that increased awareness in our community before we can truly remove that barrier. We also have a new housing support program that works on diversion, prevention, shelter access if needed, and creating more opportunity for long-term stable housing in Waukesha. And then another thing we have is our patron grant. And these are really special life-changing grants to our neighbors that we've worked with for continuing education, for social and medical rehabilitation. For example, one of our graduates from the Getting Ahead program is currently using that grant to get her master's in education so that she can improve her employment opportunities.
Very, very nice. Well, EIG is, of course, interested in helping people plan and save for the future. Is Getting Ahead a financial literacy program? And who's the program designed for?
Yeah, good question. Getting Ahead is a unique approach to financial stability. It really goes beyond the traditional budgeting and financing using the Bridges Out of Poverty model. So participants take an in-depth look at change and why change is hard, why change is necessary. They look at 11 different resources, financial being a key one, but they also look at resources like motivation, physical resources, spiritual resources. They assess which ones they're high in. They assess which ones they want to grow in. And then they spend 16 sessions with us really creating their own financial plan. They get to build their own future story and have smart action steps to help them get there. The program is designed for anyone looking to get ahead financially. So we've had over 300 participants from ages 18 to 85 from all different backgrounds. And with that goal of financial stability, that's really customized to their situation. So whether that's to better manage existing funds or create more income, and then looking to pay down debt or create savings. We have provided this workshop for 10 years in Waukesha County, including offering the program in Spanish in the last 5 years. And we are getting ready to celebrate our 40th workshop this fall.
Very nice. Congratulations
Thank
on
you.
That. You guys have a lot of great programs, and some of them, I'm sure people had no clue that you guys offer. During Bob's first week on the job, Jody told him that a major community lifeline for the homeless is in danger of closing. What happens next will teach Bob what St. Vincent de Paul is all about. So stay tuned to hear more after commercial break. We'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations, and I'm continuing our conversation today with Bob Glowacki and Jody LaChapelle from St. Vincent de Paul of Waukesha County. So, Bob, you were faced with a major crisis on your first week on the job. I can't even imagine. Tell us what happened.
So I started in October of that year, and within 24 hours, Jody was approaching me, another individual, that there was a problem, that the Waukesha Overflow Shelter, which takes care of folks who need shelter in the wintertime when the other shelters are full, did not raise enough money as expected for that season, and it may not open. And really dozens of individuals were not going to be served. And what was interesting about the story wasn't just obviously Jody advocating on behalf of what we could do as an organization. It was also the calls and the concerns of our own Vincentians. These are people who take the calls and have to figure out where to find shelter for someone and a family, an individual at the last minute. It could be a hotel or a motel or one of the shelters. They were the ones saying, this is a vital community resource. St. Vincent de Paul needs to do something about it. And so one of the things is we're an organization that's governed by what we call the rule and the manual. And one of the things we have to do is keep the money within the family. If we have money to spend, we're supposed to spend it within other Vincentian organizations. And so we had to really think long and hard how we could create a collaboration that met that rule, that we could give the money that was necessary to get that open. And the creativity and the inventiveness of the board in saying, well, what we could do is obviously we want our Vincentians want to get involved. And so they were willing to do meals. Some of our Vincentians were going to be drivers to go back and forth between the overflow shelter and day programs. And as well as we borrowed Jody for about 25% of the time in order to assist in the whole organization of the emergency overflow shelter. And this took us forever. 3 weeks. And the board had a board meeting and said, sure, there really wasn't any question. It was just kind of working through the process of how we'd meet our own expectations. And so that taught me, one, the organization is committed to serving the poor. Number two, the people who do donate, shop, and are part of our organization are committed towards making that happen. And people should feel really good that the money and the resources that we raise are going right back into Waukesha County. They're going right back to help neighbors in need. And that's what makes the organization very different and very exciting to be around.
Hmm. Well, you talked about a new housing program. What do you hope to achieve with that? And then how has that work resulted in partnering or collaborating with organizations like Family Promise?
So our housing program is here to support the amazing work of our conference members and the work that they're already doing in the community. And then more recently, it was supporting the operation of the Winter Overflow Shelter. This was really where we got this strong connection with Family Promise, along with other community partners like the Hope Center, Hebron House, and Salvation Army. We've worked with Family Promise in the past with Getting Ahead and with the bridging seminars, and we've always utilized their programs in making referrals. But Overflow was a unique situation where Joe and I found ourselves at a table with other providers really saying, how do we make this work? Quite literally mapping it out, trying every angle possible to make sure that we sheltered everyone this winter. And our goal was to be able to operate the emergency overflow shelter on Century Drive. And so then from our end at St. Vincent de Paul, I went back to our members and I really counted on their commitment to be able to make this work. And then St. Vincent de Paul continues to work on the many components needed for housing in our community. Prevention to keep people in their homes, diversion to keep people out of shelters, having solid access to shelter if it's needed, and then the main goal to provide long-term safe and supportive housing to all members of our Waukesha community.
Well, what I love is that you reached out to your membership base and everybody was like, okay, let's do this.
Yeah.
You know, what do we need to help?
Yeah.
What do we need to do to make this work? Mm-hmm. And I think that's just wonderful. We have such a great community.
Jody was helping a family find shelter on Christmas Eve night. So we
felt
we were doing somebody's will that evening.
Oh, Yeah. Well, where does the money come from then for the services that you provide and the direct aid?
Well, it comes from our Waukesha community. That's so generous. It comes from our parishes. When you have that Fifth Sunday collection that goes to St. Vincent de Paul, that's going to our conferences that are helping people in their area to get rent assistance, to provide food and shelter and so forth. We also have our thrift stores that are very successful in our community. We're proud that the Pewaukee store is the third largest in the country based on square footage. And we work hard that those entities, those stores are great shopping experiences. Just received an email on Tuesday from someone who came through, and she was actually job coaching because we try to help those who with disabilities to get jobs. And she said, I was in your store. I've never seen such a clean store. I've never seen such a team that was so kind and caring. And she's like, and I bought three items.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, it is a beautiful facility, and it also has a lot of stuff.
It does. And that then people who donate to give to us know that it's treated well. We find a place for it. And we last year, 3.2 million pounds of material was kept out of landfills because the number one way and the best for the environment is that stuff's reused. That's 0% emissions versus anything else. But we find a use for almost everything that's donated to us. And finally, our shoppers are tremendously generous. They round up. And for the last 3 years, it's averaged about $75,000 every single year. And that's what we use to do the good work that we do.
Just the roundup program alone?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So a couple cents here or there just adds up by the end of the year.
Especially when people think a thrift store. They think, who would do that? But no, many people do. And that goes directly to our Needy Family Fund, which is just there for direct assistance for people in need.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, being an organization that grew from the Catholic faith, as you mentioned your opening, Bob, are there restrictions then on who you help or who can be a member?
Well, as far as people we help, if you need help, we're there for you. That's part of who we are as an organization. So we don't restrict by any means in that way. We are a lay organization. For those who don't understand that, that means we're not led by the clergy. This is an organization that's led by your neighbors and friends who are committed in a sense of faith to helping others. So we want to help anybody in need. Membership is actually open to all. Although it's a Catholic organization, people who are Christian or share our same values are welcome to join, and we welcome you. If you're looking, this is not an easy ministry. Our folks, they go through training for in-home visits. So if you're when you're going to visit, as we do two by two, as our conference members do, they need to know how to handle, because they are running into situations of people with anxiety, depression, other challenges. And so we prepare them for that and give them a sense of how to handle things, as well as teach them local resources and ways to help families in need. On top of it, members go to two meetings a month where they prayerfully consider what people are asking for and how they can give back. So when I say this sometimes for those who have retired, it's become their next job, and that's their commitment. So this is a very, this is a, I kind of call them like my gray wolves. These are folks that are tough. They're out there. I'm so proud of them, and I'm honored to represent them.
Well, and sometimes we work with people maybe more often than one might expect, that they say they want to give back, they want to do something to help somebody else, but they don't know where to start. Mm-hmm. And that really is the big reason that we do this show, so that we can highlight and bring awareness to all the wonderful things that nonprofits like yourselves, all the things that you're doing. And then anybody listening can be like, hey, I really like the mission of that organization, so I think I want to donate or volunteer there. What would you like to say to our listeners as a call to action to end our time together?
So first of all, I think if you do end up, if you're part of a Catholic parish and somebody speaks at the pulpit about St. Vincent de Paul or about getting involved in that famous Time, Treasure, and Talent Sunday, and there's that gnawing small voice inside of you that's saying, I think I'm supposed to do something, I'm not sure what. Think about us. We'd love for you to be part of our conferences. The sense of brotherhood and sisterhood and being part of a larger entity. We're an international organization started in Paris. Listen to that small voice. Somebody's talking to you, and it's not Bob Glowacki. It's somebody far higher up. And so it's a chance for you to give back in a very meaningful way that will truly change your lives. And our members say that on a regular basis, as Joe alluded to. You're going to be changed. You can be the change, but you will be changed by the people that you meet, and it's going to change your attitudes, and it's going to make you probably a far kinder and more merciful person. As far as the other ask, please continue to donate at the stores. Drop your things off. We'll take them. We'll sell them. We promise. We'll keep them out of a landfill. We also welcome people to come and volunteer at our stores. So if you're looking for something that's not as in-depth and you just like to price or you like to put things out and you like to talk to people, we'll take you. Also, too, we have an annual golf outing in the summer. If that's your thing, we do that, and we'd love to have you with us. Our goal is to get that to be full. It's never been full, so my goal is to work with staff. And I'll even add, which is amazing, this was started by a staff member. A manager of one of our stores who loves to golf and is a Vincentian and loves the organization, he created it. And he's been raising about $20,000 a year for our Needy Family Fund to give money back to people in need by himself. And so I've come on board, and I'm trying to get him to have a full outing, but that's the kind of people we employ. And if you want to know more about us, you can always search St. Vincent de Paul Waukesha, using one of your search engines, and learn more about the organization, how you might get involved. We're ever evolving, especially Jody and I are in a lot of meetings. What we're talking about today may be out of date in the next few months as we continue to be, again, inventive and creative, which was one of our founders' expectations.
Okay, wow. Well, all great stuff. We never have enough time. I say this all the time, but it's true. We never have enough time to do a deep dive into everything, but it's planting that mustard seed so that people are aware at least. So I want to thank my guests today, Bob Glowacki, CEO, and Jody LaChapelle, Director of Community Engagement at St. Vincent de Paul of Waukesha County. Thank you for being here today. And Joe Nettesheim from Family Promise of Waukesha. Thank you all for sharing your mission and your purpose to help those in need in our community. If you would like further information about what we talked about today, you can reach out directly to Family Promise of Waukesha County or St. Vincent de Paul of Waukesha County using the information that my guests have shared today. If you know of a great organization doing great work in our community, like our guests today, that you think would be great guests for the show, or if there's a particular topic that you'd like to learn more about, feel free to email me at jill@ellenbecker.com. Tune in next Sunday morning at 10 to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community to learn more about the ways people and organizations are helping to make our community a caring and a compassionate place to live, work, and raise a family. You can tune in to News Talk 1130 on your radio, your computer, or your cell phone. You can also visit our website at ellenbecker.com to listen to previously aired shows, or you can listen on demand. If you have a desire to give back, pay it forward, or make a difference for someone in our community in some way, give some thought to how you want to do that. Start by defining what gifts you have and how you can use those to help someone else. Our guests have shared today many ways that you can make a difference in the lives of those they support, or perhaps there's another nonprofit or a cause or a group that you connect with or that your values align with. Whatever way you choose to make a difference, whether that's by donating, volunteering, or advocating, I'm sure would be appreciated by many. Take the time to figure out how you want to be a blessing and subsequently give a blessing. Thanks for listening today and have a great day.